Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome this Wednesday night to Hope is Alive. Good evening again, Ralph.
Good evening. I am here still.
I'm trying to push the button here. Hit the wrong one. Sorry about that. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
That's okay. Good evening, Brother Richard from Oklahoma and Ralph.
And I know we have a couple callers. I'll sure let you men know when they come in and when they give a call.
Thank you, Richard.
All right.
Well, here we are, another Wednesday, and a beautiful one at that. Great weather here where we're at.
Yes, it was beautiful in Oklahoma as well. It got, I think, to 83 today. That's getting on up towards spring, it sounds like.
It is. I saw 80, and I'm in the eastern part of Oklahoma, so we're both in Oklahoma again this evening.
Well, you're becoming an Okie there, Ralph.
I know. I am. This just happens to be my time to be working over here. I came across a scripture that kind of ties into what we do here with Hope is Alive, a testimony, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The subtitle, this is Paul's Reliance Upon the Spirit. It starts in chapter 2, verse 4. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And that's what we are testifying to here on this show, is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and not the wisdom of men, because we know that the wisdom of men will fail before the wisdom of God and the power of God. And we just want to give thanks to you, Jesus, for your supernatural works, for that authority you have passed on to believers in you, so that we can do the work and help set captives free.
Yes, hallelujah. And you know, that's the way I was. I was born again when I was 13, but I was age 44 before I saw the power of the Holy Spirit operate and see people set free from their demonic and physical healing, emotional healing. I missed all that. But praise God, somebody shared, and I started seeing at age 44, and I haven't stopped. And it's, once you've tasted, you want to see more. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I wanted to speak a little bit about the door closing prayer. We have had a few kind of, I don't know if concerns or questions, that with this show that people think that we're blaming demons for everything and that people are not taking personal responsibility. One of the things that I kind of wanted to show is I'm not going to go through the entire door closing prayer, but I just want to show those out there that may not be familiar with it or familiar, maybe gone through all the ministry tools, that we're not saying that the demons made you do it. Is so much the demons have tormented you in areas and have lied to you and persuaded you. And we know that the devil is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour who he can, and will come in and those spirits will lie to you. Those demons will convince you to do things, and there you are. You're caught up in sin. But I highlighted, and I believe I counted 14 times, the words, "I repent," in the door-closing prayer. And here are some of the "I repents." I repent of any involvement with witchcraft. I repent of not giving. I repent of hypnosis. I repent of idolatry. I repent of dishonor towards my parents. I repent of any illegitimacy that's present in my family lines. I repent of having received fear in my life. I repent for pride. I repent for the works of the flesh, of sexual immorality or drunkenness or drugs, addictions, jealousy, envy, anger, rage, fighting. I repent for rebellion and disobedience I've had towards you, God. I repent for having spoken any curses upon others or myself. I repent of the sins of my forefathers for all generations back. I repent of any involvement in secret societies. And then at the very last, there is, I repent and saying sorry for blaming God for all the things that have happened in your life. So I think that kind of throws out possibly the question that people might have where they think that we're just blaming demons for everything, because there is a lot of, there is in the deliverance process, there is a lot of repenting going on, because you've got to accept for the you got to accept responsibility for the parts you played, because if you do not, you won't close those doors. Is that correct, Pastor?
Well, absolutely. And of course, it all does start with repenting, just as you showed there. And the fact is that if the enemy is as ominous as we've seen, there is no way you can stick your head in the sand, so you're going to have to deal with it. If you think you can stick your head in the sand, you're terribly vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. There's no way around avoiding the confrontation with the enemy if they're there. As the Bible says, like in James 4:7, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee. Christians are the target. And if you think you can just stick your head in the sand and avoid them, that ain't going to happen. The enemy loves that. So it's we have to take up our banner and go forth. We have to go forth being as suspicious of the demonic, because they are pulling all kinds of things off. We, in our typical ministry sessions, I'll get it out, we had 15 cases this last Monday, and the average Christian, as usual, had at least three dozen spirits coming against them and harassing, tormenting. Not that they were possessed, you understand, but they were tormenting the body with spirits of sickness, just as Jesus cast the spirit of infirmity out of a woman in Luke 13, we do the same constantly, spirits of sickness. How many Christians know to come against spirits of sickness? I had no idea until age 44 when I got introduced to this. I was just a typical Christian up through those years, but I had never been taught what we're on tonight talking about. So people are perishing for lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6, and I guess that's the best way I can say it. We need to be on guard and utilize the power that Jesus gave us in his name to counter these attacks. We are under attack. Satan wants to take out Christians so we don't use our God-given gifts and go forth in our destinies and our ministries.
Amen. Amen. And one of those 15 doors that you have found that seem to be the most prevalent among Christians, one of them is unrepented sin. And that's just, we wanted to let people realize that we're not saying that it's all the demons' fault. What we're saying is that demons are heavily affecting people, and you'll know them by their fruits. Their fruits will come, whether it be fear, to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy, the fruits that are completely opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. So if there's no peace in your life, there's no joy in your life, there's no love in your life, there's no patience in your life, there's none of these things, that they very well could be there by demonic attack to steal that life from you. Case in point, I know that if anybody wanted to go back and listen to the archives, I believe it's December 14th when I gave my testimony, there should be no question among anyone in the ministry if I'm quote-unquote properly baptized, because I was baptized by Pastor Peters in Branson in 2005. I went to the watery graves of baptism, I repented, I confessed the Lord, I believed, I called upon His name, and I went into the water for the remission of sins and came out a new creature. There was a lot of things in my life that changed, but there was a lot of things there that kept creeping back and creeping back and creeping back. I had no idea what it was. I used to hear voices, I used to see things. I would tell them to go, then they would still come back, and I had no idea why. But when I finally found this part of the works of Jesus and realized that I had spirits affecting me, in me, tormenting me, and since that had gone through my deliverance session, they're not there anymore. They're not there. And I no longer have the voices that are trying to deceive me. No, you can do it this time. No, it wouldn't hurt to do it just this one time. It wouldn't hurt to do this. It wouldn't hurt to do that. So here I was, a repentant, water-baptized Christian who was still being tormented. Tormented, and thank God that I came across this deliverance, that the Lord led me not only just to Pastor Cox, but to other avenues to see and show me and train me, or I'd still be there. I'm convinced today that if I had not gone through deliverance, I would be my family would be broken up, completely broken up. And I praise God for that. I praise God that He had mercy and grace and showed me where these things were affecting me and tormenting me. And I had to take responsibility. I know that I was the person who sinned. I know it was me who committed the sin. But I'm going to tell you, I had voices that would convince me it was okay. And they would convince me, and then when it was done, the voices would be gone, and I would be in complete remorse, mortified that I even done some of the things that I had done. Looked before the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know why. I promise I'll never do it again. And here that voice would creep in again. And we found out from some of it came by generational curses, some came in from witchcraft curses, some come in from just by assignment. And these things can come and affect Christians. And we are wanting to testify to that power of God to set Christians free. And that's the whole purpose of this show, is to testify to those powers, the wonderful working of works of Jesus to help set the captives free.
And to find out that we, little us, are to do the same works of Jesus in His name. As
Amen.
We are a born-again Christian, water-baptized, we can go forth in His name doing the same works that Jesus did in John 14:12. I have to pinch myself from time to time. Who, me? Do this? Well, all Christians can do this. It is not a special gift. It is normal Christianity.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
well,
God.
Folks, we have
praise God. It was shared.
We have your our first caller on the line. Let me get the button pushed. It's Pastor Williams. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Hi, hello? Pastor Williams. Thank you for calling.
Yes. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, Pastor Williams is over in Tulsa and came recently for ministry, and so I wonder, Pastor, if you would first kind of share how you first heard about deliverance itself. A number of the listeners are not too familiar with it, but then also just if whatever you're comfortable in sharing and the experiences that you've had.
Yes. Well, I've been brought up in church and been in church all my life, so I do know that deliverance is a very crucial part of the believer's experience in their inheritance of what they can have in Christ Jesus. And unfortunately, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, me growing up in church and I'm protected from different things that the person that have not been brought up in church experienced. But I had experienced a whole lot of evil, and unfortunately it was done by church leaders, and particularly it was a youth pastor when I was about 11 years old. She was very, very cruel to me, and I was very really involved in the youth ministry at my church back then, and I had worked my way on up to being as the president of the youth department. So I was working very closely with this youth pastor. Back then we called them youth advisors. So she was just very cruel to me. Embarrass me, openly shame me for no apparent reason. I was just a kid. By the time I had my, just working closely with her, I was 13, 14, and 15. I was the president of the youth department, so I worked very closely with her and never had no good experience with her. Trying to fast forward it very quickly, I just found over the years, I'm 50, actually November I'll be 50 years old, and over the years, I just found myself just going through a lot of ups and downs in my life, this one thing after another, and a lot of financial hardships. And then I would get a good job and, you know, do very well financially. And then this all of a sudden, the rug will be just pulled out from me, and I'm just left with nothing. And you know, it at first it was happened like in every 6 to 7 years, and then when I moved to Oklahoma back in 2007, it became this assault against me. I just noted that it was increasing as far as it, the time that it was visiting me, if you will, or to have place in my life. It will come like every 2 years. You know, and I will get real good jobs and just lose them for really no really apparent reason or good reason. And then that would just spiral my life into financial hardship. And this one thing after another, and then I found myself just running running into the law. In those times of hardship, I would get in trouble. So what happened 2 years ago? Me and my wife, we had got into a lot of, big sin. I call them big sins, if you will. No sin, it's just that we just wasn't getting along with each other. And we were just constantly arguing back and forth. And at this time, I'm in ministry, pastor in the church, my wife and I, and we were just couldn't get along. And then my wife had left back in 2015. She left me and my daughter, and then we finally just had to close the doors to the church. And all of this had taken us by surprise. It was not the plan. We were not in any sin or anything like that. You know, no fornication, no financial sins, if you will, no drinking or drug sins, anything like that. It was just that, you know, we just had problems, you know, just not getting along. And then it came to me when we had separated that this spirit of harassment or torment have come again to, you know, just torment my life. But after several months had passed, my wife and I, we had reconciled, and we had got back together, and things was going well. I got a job, and, you know, I'm doing very well, you know, in my job, and went back to school to get my master's degree in theology, and things was just going very well, you know, as far as our relationship, and we was, you know, we had started the church back up, and the members that had left, we, you know, came back, and we had acquired a new building for our church. So things were just going very well. And then back in 2016, actually May, my oldest daughter that lives in Maryland, she was graduating from college, and I had went to I put in my request to go to her graduation. It was approved and all, and then on the day that I was leaving, my supervisor or my job was calling me. There was some discrepancy with my vacation time. So when I got back, but she said we'll talk when we get back. So when I got back, went to work, and then the next day that I went to work and things was just fine. And then the next day I went to work, they called me in and just terminated me right there on the spot. And this is again, I just saw that with this, I just believed that it was a spirit, you know, this assault in my life. And from that, I went into another spiral down in financial hardship. It just seemed like I was just blocked and stopped from getting employment. And then all of the finances that I had built up, it was running out. So by me being a pastor, you know, I didn't have a job, I didn't have no income, and was praying and asking the Lord why, you know, what is going on. And over several months, the Lord had spoke to me in a dream, and as I was waking up, he said that I just heard one word, mayhem. So I start seeking that that spirit out, excuse me, that word out, mayhem. And as I look back over my life from the time I was a child in the youth group at church, this spirit had just created mayhem in my life. And so with that, I start seeking out deliverance ministries. And I just start surfing the internet, found one, but it was just too far for me to travel. And so I just prayed and asked the Lord to, you know, to lead me and guide me on a deliverance ministry, because I see that it was something that that was more powerful than I was, and I needed help in, you know, just getting the deliverance and get rid of this this thing that continued to assault me from time to time. So also I had I will be seeing, you know, this piercing demonic eyes, just looking real evil. When I close my eyes from time to time, I will see that all the time in my spirit. I will close my eyes and I will see these piercing eyes just looking back at me with this sheer anger or hatred. So with all of that and hearing the spirit of mayhem, I was just sought out deliverance ministries and stumbled across Reverend Everett Cox ministry, deliverance ministry. And as I did my, you know, this my investigation and looking up his ministry, because I'm in a vulnerable state, and you know, I didn't want anybody speaking in my life and so forth that was not proven and tried and so forth. As I looked into Reverend Crock's ministry, I just saw that it was, you know, ministry of integrity. He had real life testimonies. People had gotten delivered, and I just looked at it and went through the steps and look at the different videos and that he had on his website, and I just saw that this was a ministry of integrity. It had been tried and proven, and he has some long longevity in ministry. And also, what really got me is that he was just so thorough. Reverend Cox is so thorough in detecting, spotting out a demonic spirit or what have you, and getting rid of it. It was just so thorough. So I had contacted Reverend Cox, and we talked on the phone and made an appointment to come down to one of his meetings in Oklahoma City. So I made the appointment, and, you know, I was the ministry or the service, the meeting was not what I expected or what I'm used to, but it was the teaching was very thorough, very enlightened, and as the different ministers start talking about their level of their area of ministry and dealing with door closing and different spirits and how we get entangled with generational curses and word curses spoken over our life, and going through the door closing procedure and exercise. I just thought that it was really good. I was really enlightened. And then Reverend Cox, he had ministered to me one-on-one. And as we went through this very, very thorough, and as we went through the deliverance portion of it, he just asked me to close my eyes and to, to think if there's anybody that I have not forgiven. And he said that when I see that person, that person will appear in my spirit, and when I see their face, what have you, then, just latch on to that and just start confessing forgiveness. Well, immediately when he said that, I closed my eyes and I saw this youth advisor from my childhood. Had no idea. She's already passed. She passed several years ago, and I never thought for a million years that she would have any connection or any dealings with my life at this point. And as I, start confessing, I forgive her. I just literally broke down. I just uncontrollably. And I realized right then and there, though, in that session with Reverend Cox, that this is something that had affected my life, and not knowing. I hear about people, having bad experiences and so forth, through that life, through their childhood. My childhood wasn't really out of the norm. I didn't have a real bad childhood, but because my life was engulfed in church over the years. But again, this youth minister, she had spiritual authority over my life during that time, and she just spoke some evil things to me, and it was real cruel to me. It came out in the deliverance. I was really reluctant during that time because I felt my spirit was completely open with Reverend Cox, and if I didn't trust him or he didn't have faith, if it was somebody else or a false religion, something could have been spoken over me or entered me that I didn't want. But I was open, had faith and believe, and he was very patient and kind, and just went through it very, very thorough. And, we talked after deliverance was over. I confessed my sins of not forgiving her. And we closed that door. As I was driving home, I was just, it was about an hour and a half drive from Oklahoma City to Tulsa. I was talking to the Lord about everything that I have experienced, because I know about deliverance, growing up in church and so forth, but I have not had it experienced on me. I've seen it done on others and so forth, but it just wasn't done on me. And so it was just a new experience for me. But I felt and I know in my knower that something had broke. A door had closed and something had broke. I would close my eyes, you know, from time to time and as I was going home, you know, still keeping focused on the road, but I would close my eyes and, you know, I would not see, I didn't see the evil eyes piercing, looking back at me in a hateful way. I didn't see that no more. I felt like a weight that had lifted off of me that I didn't know that I was weighted down with this. Until you know, that night I was driving home from the meeting, and it was just an eye-opener for me, things that I did not know that that I was dealing with. It came out in the deliverance, and I just, you know, just want to use the word thorough. Reverend Cox was just very thorough, and you know, and just took his time. Just going through the door closing and confessing and forgiving, and it was just something. It was refreshing for me. I went to sleep. I came back to Tulsa, and I went to sleep and I just slept like a baby. I just knew that something had broken off of me, and then I also have this sense of a hopeful. I'm very hopeful now. At first, I was not hopeful. It seemed that my hope, my faith was quickly diminishing because of, you know, just the experience that I have had within the past year of not having an employment and not the financial, you know, this juggling bills, trying to pay bills, and not having no money to pay bills. And, you know, thank God for my wife. You know, she's was able to catch some of the slack. But and I didn't understand it. I said, well, Lord, why? You know, I'm serving you and loving on you, and I'm loving people. You know, I'm giving my life over to ministry. We are pastors, and here I'm just going through stuff that I didn't know.
Pastor Williams, I believe we got that curse broken off of you too, that poverty, financial hindrance curse, which we run into quite a bit. That's another way the enemy steals, kills, and destroys.
Yes.
So we just got about a minute left, Pastor Williams. Could you go ahead and kind of, if you have something else to maybe share with the people that are listening concerning deliverance, anything else you might say to them?
Yes, well, it was just the fact that things that I had, you know, dealt with, I'd never experienced or never knew that, you know, by being in church all my life, that it was the church or, you know, people that did not know the Lord that I thought, you know, that they were the ones that had wounded me to the point that here I'm 50 years later that I need deliverance. So you can be in a church environment, a good environment, and still be get bound. But thank God for the spirit, the ministry of deliverance. You know, there's deliverance that's out there, and you can be free. You can be free. It's noticeable. I know that I'm delivered. I know that I'm free from this curse that was spoken over me.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Thank you so
Praise
much.
God.
And Ralph is on here with me from Missouri. And we both thank you so much for sharing that. I know it's it was very meaningful to many of the listeners out there.
Yes.
And I'll look forward to visiting with you some more, Pastor Williams, and I know you'll keep seeing your life improve, and you'll be living more and more of life abundant. Amen.
Yes, amen. I just thank God for this ministry, Reverend Cox ministry. I stumbled across it, and it has been nothing but a blessing to me, and I thank God. Reverend Cox is a man of integrity. He know his business. He know his work of deliverance, and he gets the job done. I'm a living testimony.
Well, thank you, brother. You are a blessing to all of us.
All right. God bless you, Brother Cox.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your program.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. A great testimony.
Amen. He told it. Hallelujah.
Yes, we do. And we have our other caller on the line. Steve, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Steve.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good evening, brother.
Yeah, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Hi there. Oh, I'm blessed. Well, if you could go ahead and share how you first learned about deliverance, Steve, and then what any experiences you're comfortable in sharing.
Sure. I heard about deliverance, I'd probably say it was a little bit over a year ago. Several people I know had come in contact with your ministry and had given their testimonies about its effectiveness and how it worked and what worked in their life. And so I planned on coming down. And several events had taken place that hindered me from it. And looking back, it's probably the hand of the enemy working through curses that had been spoken by people we knew, my wife and I knew, and just various things. It's kind of hard to sum them all up, but just to sum them up, the enemy, I guess, had kept me from coming down. I wanted to come down. I wasn't making excuses. It was just the enemy bringing circumstances against me that prevented me from doing so. And back in January, I finally got freed up enough to where I could come down. And I was skeptical, like I know a lot of listeners are, and hopefully some of those listeners are, those skeptical ones are listening tonight, and, you know, it really is the testimonies that kind of urge a person on to seek out something like this. And on the way down, I was talking to John, and one of my biggest questions was, how can a person who is repentant and baptized have a demon in their life or have evil spirits attacking them? And we discussed it at length, had plenty of time to do that, and didn't really come up with any real solid biblical answers as far as I can remember. But I went forward in faith and hope, and went through that deliverance, as you know, with you, and seen a lot of things revealed to me that I didn't realize. Like the previous caller, there was a person in his life that was at a young time and never even considered it, and I had a similar thing, too, where the unforgiveness of some people that were coaches when I was a little kid, some little league coaches, they, for my bad attitude, they wouldn't allow me to go on to play on the all-star teams, okay? And then as an adult, you think, well, that's just silly anyway. I never even thought about it. until going through that deliverance session, and the Spirit brought to my mind that I needed to forgive these people. And the situation itself is not important. It's just a stupid game, right? Well, that's not what's important. What's important is the forgiveness. As the Scripture says, if you don't forgive others, God can't forgive you. So you have to forgive others. And if God isn't forgiving you, He's not hearing your prayers. And so a lot of prayers go unanswered because you have unforgiveness in your life. And so once all those things are removed, everything becomes clear. It's like having the scales removed from your eyes, so to speak. And after the deliverance, as I started to ponder all the events, the Spirit really starts working with you a lot more. And one of the things that came out in deliverance was, in the deliverance session, was a generational curse. And it was the spirit of anger. And I'm sure people that know me personally were really shocked at that one. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. I've always been kind of hot-headed, so to speak. And once the spirit of anger was broken, the assignments were broken, and that spirit was cast out, you start seeing things different. And it was plain to see that that spirit of anger had come down on my mom's side. And she was an angry person. And her mother, my grandmother, she was an angry person. And I'm not sure where it all started or how it came about, but I know that it stops with me in my generation. And it's not going to get passed on to my children. Because that spirit of anger has been broken.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen.
And so for the skeptics, I start thinking, so how does this all, how does this still work? Because I want to know. I want to be able to answer somebody according to my faith. How is it a repentant, believing, baptized Christian could have this spirit? And what came to my mind was God said that he would visit the iniquities of the fathers of the children that are the fathers that hate him to the children to the third and fourth generation. I believe that's third and fourth. So if you're the second generation and you repent and be baptized, forgiven of your sins, does God's word become of none effect? He said three and four generations. If you're the second, you know, you may not even know you have this curse on you. And God's not a liar. So is he still visiting the iniquities of the father on that second generation person, even though he's been baptized and believes and repented? Well, I think he does.
Yes.
Because as many people testify, they've grown up in church, they've repented, they've been Christians, and they have these generational curses on them. So there's generational curses. Then you repent and be baptized, you're forgiven of your sins. And so the question is still there with a lot of people. How can you be possessed? And some people answer, well, maybe it's not possession, it's oppression. And I'm thinking about this, and I think, well, at the end of the day, what's the difference? It's still attacking
you. Amen.
It's still got all of your right. mind. It's still
if you're bothered, your you're mind. Bothered. Amen.
Dig it.
I think part of the problem, Steve, I think part of the problem with it is people have that pride of saying, well, there's no way I could have a demon affect me. It's almost like a self-righteous type pride. And not even want to have anybody know that they have these things that are bothering them. I know with me, I kept them secret because I was totally embarrassed of the things that continue to happen in my life.
Right. And that's a big part of it. A huge part of it is no one wants to confess. And that's where Christians go very wrong. In 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. But if we don't confess them, is he obligated to do those things? Doesn't seem like he is, not to me. That's the operative word, if you confess your sins, you have to confess them. And if you're embarrassed, you're full of pride, or whatever it is that's keeping you from this confession, it starts to open these doors. We've had Pastor Peters who used to talk to us about conduits to demons, things you can do, things that can happen that are conduits to demons if they're left unconfessed.
And so I'm
thinking to myself, okay, what about opening these doors? Scripturally, how can that be proven that a Christian can be affected by these things? And so I'm praying about it, and I'm thinking about it, and the scripture comes to my mind. In 4th chapter of Ephesians, it says, give not place to the devil. If somebody you know, maybe it's even a friend of a friend, coming in from out of town, and you give him a place to stay, you've invited him in. And isn't that the same?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You've
given place to the devil. Now, that was Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who have repented and been baptized, and he tells them not to give place to the devil. So, number one, it's possible. And number two, we're supposed to not do it. So, you can do it. You can open these doors, and you can give place to the devil. And Peter, it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you don't resist him, does he flee from you? Apparently not. So, hopefully,
amen.
The skeptics that are out there listening, there's your scriptures. There's two right there. And I can tell you that the eyes of my understanding are open wider now than they probably ever have been. And it's
praise
not
God.
Just the deliverance
praise
from
God.
The torment, deliverance from physical ailments, and I've seen improvements in my wife. She went through deliverance, and I see improvements in her. And our son, newborn son, he's 9 months old. It came out in her deliverance that there was a curse spoken from her mother over her and her children. And that's been broken, and the nine-month-old that we have is behind physically. And on the way home the next day, I look in the back seat playing with his toys, and he's using his right hand, which he always kept up against his chest.
Praise
he's
God.
Using his right, his his hands not in a fist, his fingers are open, he's playing with toys, he's been doing what they call tummy time, which is something he violently protested. Any time you put him on his stomach, he just immediately rolled it to his back in a fit of rage, and he's on his stomach for many times during the day now, and this has only been a few days. I mean, but it was overnight. These things changed, and hey, if that's not the evidence of healing, I don't know what is.
Well, hallelujah. That's our Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you're in a position now to really share. You've got those testimonies. There's nothing like a personal testimony. And also, by what you've been through, this is where our ministers, our teams that helped me on Monday night, they've gone through ministry, and then they have a compassion to help others. And wouldn't surprise me a bit, Stephen, if you aren't out there pretty quick helping others.
Amen.
Colorado, like Oklahoma, it's open season. There's plenty of need around us. Most people don't know that they how to get it. They know they're tormented, but they don't know the answers. And so, again, how's a person to know if someone doesn't tell him? And that, again, is where testimonies come in. You can't argue with a testimony, even though, of course, we can back all this with the scriptures. There's many more than what you shared that point all this out, and even how we are to be doing the works of Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, he sure cast out a lot of evil spirits. All you got to do is read the New Testament. And so I'm excited with what's happened with you there, Stephen, and your wife and your son. And yes, I can see that coming. You're going to be helping others in this area of ministry.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, there's been somewhat of a whole paradigm shift in the world, in the politics, in religion, and the direction that it's going now. It's just opened up a whole new field, I guess, of direction. And there's tools that are available to us, scriptural tools, to help fight in this spiritual battle, and the understanding that we have is being increased exponentially. And
yes,
there's, and the enemy, like the parable of the seed, they hear the truth, and some of that seed falls where it gets taken away, and so many people are being misled. And I think it's pretty much as simple as they just refuse to believe the truth. If you refuse to believe the truth, God will send you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. So if people are out there listening and they're being urged to believe that truth, you have to believe it. I mean, what do you really have to lose?
Yes.
You really have nothing to lose.
Strong deluding influence. That almost sounds like you let the demon come upon you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
That your covering is broke. Your covering is broke from the Lord when you let these things come in, these doors, and the demons come in. And, I mean, it's... Steve, how many years have you been on the ministry?
I don't know exactly, more than 17.
17 years. Here's a man... 17 years on the ministry, baptized for the mission of sins, went in the watery graves of baptism, and another testimony saying that these things have affected him. In all those years,
he was convinced through a lie of the devil that, no, this isn't possible.
Yes.
And he's set free. Praise God. Set free. And I know exactly how he's feeling. I know exactly the thoughts. I saw him after he came out of his deliverance session. Him and I had a little time to talk to ourselves. And Steve said to me, he says, well, I didn't realize just how much was affecting me.
And how many more listeners out there have the same situation going on? It's, of course, worldwide. And very few of the Christian body ever gets through deliverance and truly lives life abundant.
Praise God. Praise God someone shared it with you, Pastor. Praise God someone shared it with me. And praise God someone shared it with Steve.
Yes. Amen.
Well, Steve, we still got a few minutes, I believe. You have anything else you want to say?
The only thing I could really add to it, I think, is
I just got the text. Time's up about it. Are we out of time, Richard?
Yeah, we're winding down pretty quick here.
Okay. Well, everybody, we'll see each other next week. Same channel, same time. Praise God. And
thanks, brother.
Keep up the faith, everybody.
Thanks,
God
brother
bless
Stephen.
Everyone.
Thank
God
you, guys.
Bless y'all.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope.